Well, I want to talk to you in this service from the topic, attitude adjustments. Attitude adjustments. I want to first read you a story. There's a girl called Mary. She received a parrot as a gift. The parrot was fully grown with a very bad attitude and an even worse vocabulary. Every other word was profoundly rude. Those that weren't around the parrot didn't know how rude this parrot was. It was so rude that she actually got embarrassed by this parrot she received as a gift. Mary tried to change the bird's attitude by constantly saying polite words and playing soft music. Anything she could think of to get this parrot to behave in a good way. Nothing worked. She yelled at the bird and the bird got worse. She shook the bird and the bird became even madder and ruder. Finally, in a moment of desperation, Mary put the parrot in the freezer to get a minute of peace. For a few moments, she heard the bird swearing, squeaking, kicking, and screaming. Then suddenly, there was absolute silence. Mary was frightened that she might have actually hurt the bird and quickly opened the freezer door. The parrot calmly stepped out of the freezer and onto Mary's extended arm. Perfectly calm, the parrot said, "I am very sorry that I offended you with my language and my actions, and I ask you to forgive me. I will endeavor to correct my behavior, and I'm sure it will never happen again." Mary was astounded at the change in the bird's attitude and was about to ask what changed him when the parrot continued, "And may I ask what the chicken did?" There's one thing in life that you will constantly need to adjust, and that is the thing called your attitude. An adjustment means the following: the act of adjusting, adaptation to a particular condition, position, or purpose. To adjust something means the state of being adjusted, orderly relational of parts or elements. Friends, right through your life, you will have to get used to adjust your attitudes or your attitude. Through life, we will all need to change our attitude or do some adjustments to our attitude. For example, right after this service, I believe some of you here, and I'm not looking at anybody, I'm not thinking about anybody specific, will make an attitude adjustment. Looking at your neighbor, you can say to them, "Go and adjust your attitude. It is good for you." Go look at your neighbor, tell them, "Go for it. It's good for you." Family, your attitude in life determines your altitude in life. If you want to go higher in life, you need to change your attitude more oftenly. You can't go through life with a bad attitude. I said it all the time, that an attitude is like a Ferrari. When you have a bad attitude with a flat tire, no matter how beautiful that sucker is, unless you change that flat tire, unless you change that attitude, that Ferrari ain't going anywhere. So Winston Churchill said the following: your attitude is a little thing that makes a big difference. It's a little thing that makes a big difference. Is your attitude important in life? Absolutely. It is one of the most little things in life that is the most important. Your attitude. It's a small thing that can make a huge difference. Friends, there is nothing more destructive in life than a person with a bad attitude. There is nothing that irritates me in life like a person with a bad attitude. There is nothing that cringes me in life as if a person with a bad attitude. There's one thing that you need to get out of your life, and that is a bad attitude. The quicker you change that sucker, the quicker you will go higher and further in life. You see, the word attitude means the following: a position of the body or manner of carrying oneself. Oh, a position of the body or manner of carrying oneself. I'm talking about attitudes here tonight, and just sitting back like this shows me your attitude. And I don't like your attitude because it stinks. It's bad. So you can experience a person's attitude through their body gestures. Attitude means a state of mind affecting one's thoughts and behaviors. A state of mind affecting one's thoughts or behaviors. The word attitude means an arrogant or hostile state of mind. Woo! Ouch. It's tight, but it's right. There's three types of attitudes to be aware of in life. Number one, the attitude of your body. Wow. You see, family, a bad attitude carried in your body speaks louder than a thousand words. You come to church. How are you? Okay. Praise and worship. After the service, how are you? God's good. By the grace of God. Oh, that sucker is stinking. I don't want to be around it. It's not attractive. It's actually cringing. Oh, I want to get it. Oh, get it. Just get it out of my life. A bad attitude speaks louder than a thousand words. The way you carry your body tells us about your attitude. There's some crazy attitudes out there. Pants hanging here. Hey, homie. You go no way fast, bro. But I'm cool. No, you ain't cool. You're stupid. You think you're cool. And all your friends tells you you're cool, but let me help you. You are stupid and you're going fast nowhere. How you carry yourself. An attitude can be seen through your body. You might say you want to be here, but your body is shouting thousands of words otherwise. So you need to be aware that your attitude can be expressed through your body. So Winston Churchill, I like the man, he said the following: it's not enough that you do your best. Sometimes you have to do what is required. You come to church and you serve, and then a leader or a pastor sits you down and they rebuke you. Oh, but I'm doing my best. Sometimes it's not good enough to do your best. You have to do what is required. And if you're then going to pick up an offense or get angry, you might say that you are not, but your whole body language is speaking a thousand words. And you have to understand that your attitude gets expressed through your body. You might say to people that you are not offended, but your whole body language is telling us that you have a bad attitude. Friends, something that you need to get rid of in your life is a bad attitude. And something that you need to get understanding of is that if you want to go higher in life, then you will have to constantly make an attitude adjustment. Every day you will have to adjust your attitude. Every month you will have to adjust your attitude. Every year you will have to adjust your attitude. You will have to make up your mind that you will adjust your attitude every day. The second thing is the attitude of your mind. In Galatians chapter 1, 21, it says the following. And although you at one time were in strange and alienated from him, which is Jesus, and were of hostile attitude of mind in your wicked activities. He's saying, listen, church, once at a time, you were alienated from God. You were not part, one translation says, you were not part of the commonwealth of Jesus. Why? Because the attitude of your mind was different from the attitude of the kingdom. You see, church, one thing Satan wants and don't mind you have is when you have an attitude that is alienated from the kingdom. A mental attitude that's different from the kingdom at mental attitude. Therefore, the Bible says you have the mind of Christ. There's an attitude of mind that is kingdom-minded, and then there's an attitude of mind that is hostile to the kingdom. Satan doesn't mind you being born again, but having the mind. He doesn't mind you being born again, but have the mind of this world. When you don't change the attitude of your mind, you're going to be in church and act like a sinner. Nothing will really change. One day you will be up, one day you will be down. One day you will be excited, one day you just want to kill everybody. One day you want to cry, one day you are full of joy. It's a roller coaster, up and down and up and down, just because you hang on to the wrong mental attitude. God wants you to look at your body attitude. How do you carry yourself? Well, if you want to be a gangster, I can show you a gangster attitude. But God wants you to go up in life. He wants you to be part of the Jesus gang. The only gang that you should be part of is the Jesus gang. So you need to get your eight attitude of mind toward what is the attitude of the mind of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, 23, it says, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. Did you notice they're constantly renewed in the attitude of your mind? Wow. Having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. God wants you to walk through this journey of being in the church and being part of the house of God, having a fresh mental attitude daily. Ask God to change, help you to adjust your attitude. Listen, the attitude of yesterday might not be the attitude that will get you to tomorrow. The attitude that you had yesterday might be a lower form of attitude you need to excel into tomorrow. The attitude that worked for you when you came into church might not be the same attitude that is needed to get you further in church. And if you don't learn to adjust your attitudes, the bodily attitude, you have to understand that that thing speaks louder than 1,000 words. So it's important to adjust the way you carry yourself in your body. Then it's important to ask God to give you a freshly mental and spiritual attitude every day of your life. Because I tell you today, if you don't learn to adjust your attitude for the better according to what God's spiritual principles is, are, and what God wants, then I tell you, Satan will try to adjust your attitude towards this world, worldly things. You will start off your journey loving God. You will start off your journey, you know, there's nothing better than CRC. Not even sliced bread is as nice as CRC. And then suddenly, few months later, your attitude has adjusted back again to worldly things. I want to encourage you to make peace with that. on your journey with Jesus, you will have to get used to one thing: attitude adjustments. The quicker you learn to change an attitude, the quicker your Ferrari is going to get on going and higher, going further and higher for God. Amen. You can't phone the AA to change your tire. You can't phone nobody. You can't even ask Jesus to change your attitude.
Yep, that's right.
He gave that to you. Amen. Your car, your tire, you change it. You know, some of you can't even change a car tire. No wonder we can't change our attitudes. We want to phone the AA, come and change my tire. How pathetic is that? So we come into the kingdom, we want to phone the pastor, we want to phone the leader, we want to phone Jesus. No, ain't going to work like that. You need to know that you need to change your attitude. You picked up the bad attitude, you put it down. You make sure that you keep on adjusting your attitude bodily, mentally, all the time. In Romans chapter 2, 12, it says, do not be conformed to this world, this age. Fashion after and adapted to its eternal, superficial customs. Whoa! Fake. It says, do not be conformed to this world, to the superficial, short, fake world. It says, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideas and new attitudes. Oh, I like it. When you come to Jesus and you work with Him to change your mind, He will always give you new ideas and new attitudes. The Bible says the mercies of God is new every day. I want to tell you, when you walk with Jesus, there's two things that is every day fresh and new. New ideas and new attitudes. You can every day go to Him and say, Lord, I need a fresh idea and I need a fresh attitude. He promises that. If you work with Him to change your mind, He will constantly pour into your life fresh ideas and fresh attitudes. You have no excuse. You are in big trouble when it comes to God. Because God is constantly pouring to His church fresh ideas. Throw it back to me. New, fresh attitudes. He's constantly doing that. Every day there's a fresh idea and there's a fresh attitude. And God is just looking for people that can catch the new ideas and the new attitudes. But you see, you guys are like this. Throw it to me. And then throw it to me. And you're not looking. And sometimes you catch it, but it wasn't the purpose to catch it, because you're looking all over the other place. God is just looking at people that wants to change their life, wants to change the way they think. And if you walk with God in such a way, He promised that He will deliver to you every day fresh ideas and fresh attitudes. You had a stinking attitude coming to church today? I promise you, right after the sermon, if you adjust that attitude, God is giving you a fresh attitude. Amen. And if you come here today and your life is falling apart, you don't have an idea what you're going to do, I tell you now, you change your attitude, you change your mind, God gives you a new attitude. The Bible says He's the God that speaks. You cannot come in His presence and leave empty-handed. Says new ideas and new attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. Wow. Philippians 2:5 in the Amplified says, let this attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Let Him be your example in humility. Wow. That this same attitude and purpose and humble mind be in you. It's a prayer that you can pray every day. Lord, let the same attitude that was in you come into my life. Let the same attitude be in my life. Let me be as humble as Jesus was. And let me have the same purposes that you gave to Jesus. He actually encouraged you to have the same mind and the same attitudes. The third attitude is the attitude of your heart. It's important that you understand that attitude in the body speaks louder than 1,000 words. Then you need to know that you constantly need to adjust your mental attitude. That every time that you change your mind to conform with the word, God pours out new ideas and fresh mental attitudes to you. It's important to have a positive mental attitude. Stop having a negative mental attitude. You know, when you have a negative mental attitude, you don't attract positive things. You just keep on attracting negative things. You either have a plus sign on your forehead or you have a minus sign. And if you have a minus sign, that means a negative mental attitude, all you will attract is negativity. Negative in work, negative when it comes to church, negative in the things of God, negative when it comes to family. Nobody wants to be around somebody that's all the time negative. Wonder why you don't have friends? Because you have a minus sign on your forehead. You just take all the time. Take everything from them. You never deposit anything to them. Learn to have a positive mental attitude. Ask yourself, if you look into the mirror, be truthful. Do you see a plus sign or a negative sign? I said that you, I'm looking at you, and I see a plus, I see a negative, I see a negative, negative, plus, negative, 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 plus, negative. If you're not sure what you see, ask 5 friends around you, positive or negative, and take the average. If they say to you negative, don't cry and leave the church. Just say, Lord, please forgive me for having this negative mental attitude. I now ask you through your word to give me a positive mental attitude. And I thank you when I have a positive mental attitude, I will have fresh ideas and fresh mental attitudes. The third one is the attitude of your heart. So Winston Churchill said the following, for myself, I am an optimist. It does not seem to be much use being anything else. Oh, come on. Oh, come on. I say, come on. There's enough negativity in this world. Come on, be an optimist about your life, about your home cell, about church, about the kingdom, about God. Just be optimistic. What use is there to be negative? You switch on the TV, you go on to Sky or BBC or ITV News. It's negativity, negativity, negativity. The whole system wants to program you in negativity. Amen. So he said, Winston Churchill said the following, personally, I'm always ready to learn, although I'm not always willing to be taught. That's many of us. Oh, pastor, I want to be discipled. Ooh, till the discipling starts. We're always willing to learn, but we're not always willing to be taught. So your heart is ready to learn, but your flesh doesn't want to submit. Oh, pastor, will you please train me? I want to be like you. Then you come, and I ask you to cut my grass, wash my car. Then 2 plus 2 doesn't give you 4. You are willing to learn, but you are not ready to be taught. Your heart, the Bible says, carries everything. Jesus said, take care of your heart, because out of your heart flow all the issues of life. Satan wants to get to your heart, because if he can defile your heart, he will defile your life. He will first offend your mind to get to your heart. Be very careful. When your negative mental attitude, you will slowly move into a negative spirit, a negative heart, where you will repel the things of God which can change you and heal you and strengthen you. Take care of your heart attitude. Make sure that your heart attitude is always in line with the word. It's always in line with Jesus. It is always positive. Yeah. Didn't Jesus say, in all things, be joyful? Yeah. In all things? Yeah. In all things, be excited? Even though you go through the hell, Bible says, I will be with you. Even you go through the shadow of the valley of death, I will never leave you. Then Jesus said, my peace I leave with you. Paul said it so many times in the New Testament, when you're going through tough times, cry. No, he said, rejoice. He said, lift your arms, praise God. That needs a change of mental attitude. You want to have a heart change? Then you need to change the way you think. Change your attitude towards God. You want to change your life. Listen, you ain't going to change nothing until you change your mind. Some of you are going to be frustrated after this service because God is exposing your mental attitude. Because he wants to touch your heart. God is all after your heart. He's not interested. If he has your heart, he can change your mind. He can change your life. But unless he has your heart, nothing will change. So when God changes your heart, he works on your mental attitude so that your bodily attitude will also change. Well, Satan is not going to leave you alone. He's going to go after your bodily attitude, your mental attitude, and ultimately he wants to get to the attitude of your heart. Makes you negative all the way. Gets you to repel the things of God instead of attract the things of God. Come on, you have to take care of your heart. Friends, I want to tell you that your attitude in the house of God will always be tested. God will always test your attitude. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 9, it says, for this was my purpose in writing to you, to test your attitude and to see if you would stand the test. Whoa! Paul writes to the Corinthians church, he says, listen, the way I write this letter is to test your attitude and to see if you will stand the test. Sometimes Pastor Tabo will preach a sermon. Who? It's your test. God just wants to test your attitude and to see if you will pass the test. So many people fail that attitude test and they hop like a bunny to greener pastures. Get offended, get angry, become more negative. Nothing in God's house is there to hurt you, to harm you. No sermon that is preached by a true man of God is there to destroy you. It is always there to lift you up, to better you, to help you to have a better attitude. Are you with me? There, he says here, whether you are obedient and altogether agreeable to following my orders in everything. Paul writes here, he says, I'm writing this letter for this purpose, to test your attitude and to see if you will stand the test. Now he's saying, whether you are going to be obedient and altogether following everything I tell you to do. Wow. Next time your pastor asks you to do something, you need to know that you are going to write an attitude test right there. Are you going to be obedient and listen to what they ask you to do? Because this happened to the Corinthians church. Paul tests their attitudes. Are you still with me? Now, friends, there's a danger of having a wrong attitude. I said to you, it stinks. Last time I found something stinking, stink. Bad attitude is a stinking thing. No one want to be around somebody with a bad attitude. And there's a danger of having a bad attitude or staying in a wrong attitude. In Job chapter 37, 34 verse 37, it says, for he adds rebellion in his unsubmissive, defiant attitude towards God, to his unacknowledged sin. He clamps his hands in open mockery and contempt of God among us, and he multiplies his words of accusation against God. Friends, the purpose of a negative, wrong attitude is ultimately to lead you to a place of rebellion. Unsubmissiveness to God's word, God's leadership, God's ways. Sitting and keeping yourself in a bad, wrong attitude is ultimately going to lead you to the state of rebellion. God will speak, your bad attitude will repel the things of God. Yes, God will tell you through a leader, don't do that. But because you have a bad attitude, that bad attitude, wrong attitude, is going to lead you ultimately to something called rebellion. Rebellion is kicking against God's word, going against God's ways. So it's dangerous to have a wrong and a bad attitude. It will ultimately lead you to rebellion, ultimately lead you away from God's ways and not towards God's ways. And Jesus wants you to be aware of the danger of having a wrong attitude, playing with the wrong attitude. Friends, when a leader or somebody in church tells you, change your attitude, it ain't a good suggestion. I mean, you've been walking in the park, and that might be a little bit gross to people. You've been walking in the park, and then you step in something. You didn't notice you step in something. And you're just going through life, and as you get to your friends, they smell you. And then they say to you, hey, bro, you have to change your shoes. Do they say that to hurt you? Or is there a big reason? Because everywhere you go, you bring that stink. You step onto everything, stepping it. So it's love and appreciation to tell you, hey, you stepped into some stuff. Change your shoes. Because everywhere you go, you take that stink with you. So when a leader or a pastor or somebody tells you, you have a stinking attitude, don't get offended. Realize that God doesn't want you to carry that stink everywhere. He wants you to change that shoe. Put on a new shoe or new pair of shoes. So that wherever you go, you bring the right fragrance, which Jesus says, you are the fragrance of Christ and not the wrong fragrance, which is the fragrance of a dog. Repentance is not just a change of mind, friends. Repentance is a change of purpose and action, but it's also a change of attitude. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, in the Amplified Bible, it says the following. Those whom I dearly and tenderly love, I tell their faults and convict and convince and reprove and chasten, discipline and instruct them. So be enthusiastic and in earnest and burning with zeal and repent. Change your mind and your attitude. Wow. My fellow brothers and sisters, when you have the real Jesus in your life, and you have real men of God in your life, He wants you to know that if you are His church and He loves you, He will tell you your faults. I know you don't believe it. But every time He tells you your faults, it's not to expose you or to embarrass you. Somebody, a pastor or a leader tells you, hey, change your attitude. It's faulty. There's something wrong. It's not to expose you. Jesus does it because He loves you. He says over here, and He will convict them. It's like some of you are sitting here, you feel the conviction of God on you. You know you had a bad attitude, a negative attitude. Who's making you feel that way? The devil or Jesus? The devil. No, Jesus. He loves you. If He loves you, He will convict you. He will convict you. If He loves you, He will convince you. If he loves you, he will reprove you, correct you. He will discipline you and instruct you. So when you come to church and you have a bad attitude, many times, if you don't know that God loves you, the pastor will preach in a certain way, and you will feel condemnation instead of conviction. And you have to understand that when Jesus loves you, he will always do the following. He will point out your faults. To expose you or to harm you? No, because he loves you. Doesn't want you. He wants you to work on those faults. When Jesus loves you, he will convict you. He will, through his Spirit and through men of God and through people, he will convict you. You were doing that, he will bring conviction that it was wrong. Why? Because he hates you? No, because he loves you. He will convince you. He will reason with you through the Word and through the Spirit that the life you are living now is not the perfect life or perfect will for your life. Will convince you, constantly trying to convince you. The fourth thing is, he will reprove. He will reprove. What does reprove mean? Come on. Correct. He will correct you all the time. I mean, I don't hate my little two-year-old twins. Boy, I love them. But I, because I love them, constantly correct them. So my boys, I still correct them. Constantly I correct them. Why? Because I hate them. No, I correct them because I love them. Do I discipline and instruct them? You bet I will. Why? Because I love them. So you have to understand, when you are in the house of God, Jesus, because he loves you, he will always address the stuff that is not in line with his word. Always. Then he will instruct you of how to fix that. And tonight, he wants you to know that you need to be enthusiastic. He said over here, he will show them their faults. He will convict them. He will convince them. He will reprove them. He will discipline and instruct them. And then what he's saying, so be enthusiastic, be earnest, and burning with zeal. This is a very difficult attitude to have when you are now rebuked, convinced, reproved, your faults are shown to everybody, and then he says, be enthusiastic. The Lord is speaking. That's the scriptures. He says, I love you, so I'm going to do all this in your life. But by the way, be enthusiastic and burn with zeal. You have to have the right attitude to be able to do that. If you have the wrong attitude, you're never going to become enthusiastic and burning with zeal. When God corrects you, when God reproves, when God shows out your faults, earnest, come on. You get rebuke, oh, thank you, Jesus. You get your faults being shown, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm excited, give me more, I want to take my mountain. Do you see how important the right mental, heart, and body attitude is when you are part of the church that Jesus loves? Then he ends off, he says, and repent. Change your mental attitude, your mind, and your attitude. Friends, in your journey with Jesus, you are not always going to walk on the line. You're going to step off the line, and you're going to, there, somebody needs to correct you. Somebody needs to show you your fault. Somebody needs to tell you, to reprove you. Somebody needs to instruct you. And Jesus says, if I love you, that's what I'm going to do. So every time I do that, repent. Change your mental attitude. Change your attitude. Be enthusiastic. Be full of zeal. Why does God do it? Because He loves you. You might have been sitting here today in all the services. Well, and you feel like, man, I've missed it. So simple. Lord, please forgive me. Just forgive me, Lord. I love you. I know that through every message, you don't hate me. You're not going to push me away. You're just reproving me. You are instructing me again to get back in line with the Word, to change and align, adjust my attitude. And some of you tonight, you need to know the importance of a bodily attitude, because you've been carrying yourself the wrong way. You've been coming to church. Don't talk to nobody. Don't reach out to somebody. Don't lift your hands in praise and worship. Looks like you are irritated. There's no life in your eyes. That is the wrong bodily attitude. It speaks louder than 1,000 words. And some of you are here tonight, you need a mental adjustment to your attitude. You need something fresh, new idea. You need to get back into the Word. But it's all going to start when you say, Lord, please forgive me. I had the wrong attitude. I had a wrong attitude, mental attitude towards Pastor Tabu, the church, my leadership, a home cell leader, somebody in which I serve together. Please forgive me. I'm going to adjust it. I'm going to get it positive again. And then the danger is some of you are already having a wrong heart attitude. And that means your heart has been drifting away. Away from church, away from God, away from leadership, away from doing the things of God. And God wants to stop you. He wants to warn you. It's going to lead to destruction. Get back. And all you need to do is just say, Lord, I hear your voice. I'm going to repent and I'm going to change my mind. And I'm going to change my attitude. Church, listen to me. Attitude is a small thing that makes a huge difference. Some of you are stuck where you are in your walk with God because you have never learned to adjust your attitudes. You are responsible for it. You need to take your authority over your life, over your body. Didn't Paul say, I discipline my body? Does God want you to lift your hands in praise and worship? I'm asking. Does He want you to do it? Well, the devil doesn't want you to do it, but God wants. Take control over your body. You will lift your hands in Jesus' name. Take your hand, put it on your head and say, in the name of Jesus, body, you will come in line with the Word of God. Lift up your hands in the name of Jesus. Take control over your body attitude. You're never going to become anybody if you don't carry yourself correctly. Never inspire nobody. Take them further if you are just like them. Then if you have a negative mental attitude all the time, nobody wants to be around you. Change that. Take authority of it. Say to your mind, you're going to be positive now. From now on, you're going to be positive. How do you receive a mental, positive mental attitude? Get in the Word of God. Read the Bible daily. Read it. If you are too lazy to read, go on the internet and find scriptures that are positive in the Word. Print them all out, put them somewhere, and just learn to memorize those scriptures. And the more, you just need one or two a day that can change your mental attitude like this. Greater is He that lives in me than he who lives in the world. I am the head and not the tail. I am above and not beneath. God has called me to do great things. I do not have a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. It's not by might, nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of God. I call those things that be not as though they are, because God lives in me. If I say, let there be light, there will be light. If I say, let there be life, there will be life. Get those scriptures in you. It takes nothing to be negative. It's our responsibility to adopt a positive mental attitude. Stop moaning and groaning and crying out to God because your home cell is not growing. Take authority. In the name of Jesus, I speak to this dead cell. Every member in the cell will come alive in Jesus' name. I speak to this home cell. You will grow in the name of Jesus. From the east to the west, from the north to the south, I call people that do not know God's name to come to this home cell in Jesus' name. You will multiply, you will increase, you will double up in the name of Jesus. Change your mental attitude about what you are doing. Takes nothing to be negative. Takes everything to be positive. And don't allow the devil to change the attitude of your heart when it comes towards God, your leadership, and your church. If he gets you that, it's terminal. Stop it. Get his hands off your life. Make up your mind. I am an optimist. No matter what's happening falling around me, my church is doing great things. My pastors are awesome. My leadership is positive. People are getting saved. We are changing the city. I might not be do everything, but I'm doing my part in this whole thing. Fight for the attitudes in your life. I give you my word. I will attack your negative attitude every time. Because it will never bring life to you. If I allow you to have a stinking attitude, you are going to be a Ferrari with a flat tire. How can we allow you to have that stinking attitude all the time? It's detrimental to you and everybody around you. Lift up your chin. God is for you. Who can be against you? Things might be impossible with man, but because you have God, all things are possible for those who believe. And tonight you might be here and your mental attitude is wrong towards God and His church. You've always believed that God is out there to get you. Man, the only thing that God wants to get to is your heart. The Bible is very clear. He said Jesus did not come to condemn us, but He came to save us. And in this time called time, in this period called time, which we still have, is a period called grace. In this period of grace, you have the opportunity to reconnect with God. You have the opportunity to give your heart to God. You have the opportunity to change your mind attitude towards God and to change your heart attitudes towards God. In this time, God is not out to judge you. God is out to save you. But I want to tell you that there is a time coming, and it's coming very soon, where the whole ship will change. Where if you didn't take the opportunity to make right with God, and this is not to fear you, if you didn't take the chance to make right with Him, to change your attitude and change your heart, it will be too late forever and ever and ever. You will regret not making right with God forever and ever and ever. It's not to frighten you. It's to give you the truth. Because the Bible says God so much loved this world that He has given His Son so that whoever believes can be saved. And right now, today, you can make right with God. Right now, you can leave here today with a fresh, positive, godly attitude in your life. And you can start working on building a great life with Jesus. I tell you, a few years ago, I gave Jesus the opportunity in my life. And boy, He grabbed it with both hands. And He changed me from the inside out. I want God to do that with you tonight. You are here tonight. You know your life is not right with God. You don't have the assurance that if you die, you will spend eternity with Him. I want to say to you, I'm speaking to you. Because God is calling out to you. God is saying, come back home. Give me your life. I'm going to beautify it. I'm going to use you for my glory. You still have time. Jesus might come back tomorrow and it will be all over. What are you going to do then? Not accepting this wonderful gift called salvation just because you had a bad mental attitude towards God. I want to tell you today, in this moment, you can change that attitude by just knowing that God loves you, has a great plan and a future for your life. And if you can accept Jesus, your whole life will change for eternity. And God will love you like no man or no woman can. I tell you, there's nothing greater than the love of God. When He touches your life, He changes everything. Let's close our eyes. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for this church. We thank You that You love and care about us. Thank You that we know that You speak to us like no man can. And right now, I thank You for hearts that are being touched, minds that's being touched by Your Spirit. Thank You, Father, that You have designed every man to hear Your voice. Even as we sit here having a bad attitude or a mental attitude that's not in line with Your word, we can still hear Your voice calling out to us. The Bible says God is calling deep unto deep. And right here, you know that your life is not right with God. And before we go, I want to ask you a personal question. Don't you think it's time to make right with Him? Don't you think it's time to come back to God? Don't you think it's time to give Jesus a chance in your life? Maybe you are here today and you say, Tabu, that's me. Through this whole sermon, I realize that I have not given Jesus a minute of my life. But tonight, before I go, I want to give Him the opportunity to save me, to give me a new life, to give me a new attitude. I want to repent. I want to change my mind and my attitude when it comes to the things of God. Maybe it's you that I'm talking about, and you say, that's me. Then while all eyes are closed and heads are bowed, I want to ask you, can I please pray for you? If it's you, I want you to quickly just slip up your hand high. Say, Tabu, here I am. Just show me. If you want to be included in this prayer, thank you. I see your hand here in the front. Another hand in the front. Just lift it up high. Come on. Hands are going up. You can hear God's voice. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. I want to tell you, the whole heaven is shouting out your name right now to make right with God. Forget about the person next to you. Forget about your friend, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. Just listen to my voice. God is calling you and nobody else. He says, come back home. Make right with me. And the only way you can do that is by giving your life to Jesus. If it's you that I'm talking about, you haven't put up your hand yet, you know you should. Slip it up one more time so I can see. Just show me by hand. In the back, I see your hand. In the front over here. Just slip it up high. Say, here I am, Tabu. Pray with me. Thank you, I see your hand. I want to make right with God. Thank you, thank you. Come on, we're shouting, we're encouraging you. Angels are shouting your name in heaven right now to make right with Him. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. I'm going to encourage you one more time and then we're going to pray. You haven't put up your hand yet. You know you should. Slip it up. Say, Tabu, here I am. If you've put it up, you can put it down. I want every one of you to look up to me, please. God doesn't want you to look down. He wants you to look up. The reason why you are here in the front, the Bible is very clear. No man can get you to make this decision except the Spirit of God. That means you have just heard the voice of Jesus telling you to come back home. And all I'm going to do is I'm going to pray for you, a simple prayer. I want you to pray this with all your heart. If you mean business with God, God means business with you. If you're just going to say sorry and go on with your life, nothing's going to change. But if you make up your mind today that you will change your life, Christ will come, change you from the inside out, forgive all your sins, and use you for His glory. Amen. So I want you to put your hand on your heart. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to pray this with me. Say, Heavenly Father, thank You for tonight that You spoke to my heart. Please forgive me of all my sins. I repent today and I ask You forgiveness. I receive it and I thank You that You love me, that You care about me. Thank You for Jesus. I believe with all my heart that He came to die for my sins, that He rose again so that today I can have eternal life. I receive that in the name of Jesus. Father, use me in Your church and Your kingdom for Your glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast brought to you by CRC London. For more information about our services, venue locations, or any other information, please visit our website www.crclondon.com. CRC London, building one church in many locations.